Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One alive, one dead, one fictional. It's up to you who you choose, you pick them all. It's up to you who you choose, you pick them all. Who you having? Make it who you wish. This is your dinner party, and it's your guest list.
Hello, and welcome to episode 19 of Guest List with Jake Lambert, the podcast where I interview comedians to find out who would be their perfect dinner party guests. But they can only pick three. One has to be alive, one has to be dead, and one has to be fictional. This week we are joined by Jeremy Flynn. Jeremy is a very funny comedian and a very good friend of mine. We've lived together up in Edinburgh, which we sort of discuss at the start of the podcast. We're very good friends, but we haven't actually properly spoken. We sort of messaged, but haven't spoken over the last year. So I was a bit worried that the actual format might just get in the way of us having a good catch up, but it was actually a really good way to sort of just catch up with him and chat to him and see what he'd been up to. It's a really good episode. I really enjoyed it. Just to say, before we get onto the episode, I am, as you know, life's getting back to normal and I've got gigs and stuff in. But I'm going to be busy, but I'm going to do my best to keep on top of it. This week, I'll tell you this for two things. One is I'm working on a new show for ITV called Cooking with the Stars, which should be fun. I'm working with friend of the show, Tom Allen. But it might also just aid your enjoyment of the conversation as Jeremy and I discuss our culinary differences. You'll hear. Basically, my food preferences aren't probably what they should be if I'm working on a show called Cooking with the Stars with some top chefs. But hey, maybe I'll learn something. Enjoy the show. The point I was going to make was there should be an episode next week. I'm going to be busy, but I'll do my best to keep on top of it. And there should be one out next week. If there's not, I apologise, but I will do my best. But for now, please enjoy my conversation with Jeremy Flynn. I was going to ask, have you done any Zoom gigs?
No.
No.
Too difficult.
Can't imagine it's your vibe at all.
It's not. I just can't imagine anything worse.
Jeremy's vibe for the listener is to do as little as possible.
Well, yeah. You would think that would be my vibe, in that like you can do it in your house and that.
Yeah, that's true.
Weirdly, I don't like seeing my own face. That really puts me off.
I like looking at your face.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
It always looks happy. Even when you're annoyed, it makes me laugh.
Thanks, man. Looking at my own face is a real kick in the nuts.
To be honest, those Zoom gigs, I've done the ones I've had to do. I've done it for the sake of it, did it for the experience, did it if I've had something coming up.
You tell a joke and then you're like, oh, they must have all frozen. And then you go, oh, no. Oh, no. You're waiting for the delay. Wait for it to catch up. Wait, no, they just don't like it. Just don't like any of it. That's fine.
It's the same as stadium gigs. If you ever play stadiums.
Oh. Tell me about it. Tell me about it. That's why I hate them. I never do them. I say, you know what?
You're a purist, aren't you?
I say Zoom or stadiums.
That's it. No, I'm no gig that ends in an M.
Yeah. Yeah, just real small venues for me. That's
yeah,
perfect.
And he refuses to gig in Birmingham, Nottingham, yeah. Cheltenham.
You name it, I haven't played there.
I've never seen your flat.
Yeah, it's all right, isn't it?
It's very nice. What's this artwork you've got to your left?
It's from my neighbour Totoro.
Oh yeah, he gave it to you.
Yeah, come on. Here we go. Get him back in real life.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, one of those Studio Ghiblis. You got to have a Studio Ghibli. Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. People judge you on what's behind, you know, in your background.
Oh, so you've got to
have a couple of tasteful pieces, you know.
I've just gone for the kitchen.
It's nice. Is that the new gaff? Very nice.
I've currently got Richard Parker is behind the hallway door, the door up to the stairs here, because he caught a mouse earlier, but the mouse is still alive. So ooh. I've let the mouse have the garden, try and find an escape. But all Richard Parker wants to do is just stare out at this mouse and like wag his tail around and meow quite loudly. So I've now got Richard Parker meowing at the door. Yeah, he wants to get back out there.
Yeah.
I don't want to clear up the mess. I want the mouse to survive.
Sure.
Can you hear that? Can you hear him?
Is that coming? That Dickie P?
Yeah, can you hear? he just wants to get back out there. And I've just realised that my garden is for brick walls. So that mouse has obviously been brought in. So he can't get out.
No.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Isn't the most humane thing to... Are you not meant to polish him off?
I can't bring myself to do that.
No way. I wouldn't do it. I don't know why.
I don't know how anybody would do that.
Yeah. People are like, oh, the most humane thing is to put them out of their misery. You go, well, what if they were fine and I accidentally...
Yeah, and actually, that's just going to cause me misery.
Definitely. Definitely. Do you know what? Richard started it. I'd send Richard out to finish the job.
I know, I just can't do it for the poor mouse. It's so cute. It's so small.
Yeah.
And I know what you mean. You haven't seen the mouse. So you can just say it as a cat and a mouse. I'll set the mouse. I've been out there up close to the mouse. I've probably made a mistake. I gave it some cheese. I just wanted to get some energy.
Didn't.
Well, I wanted to get some energy.
Sure.
To get out.
And cheese is, yeah, they do like cheese.
They love a bit of cheese. Probably not good for them, but like capture of milk, I'd imagine. But I've given it to him or her.
I think you made the mistake of bonding. You should never
bonded with the mouse.
Never bond with a dying mouse. I've always said that.
If I had different titles for different episodes of this podcast, that would be the title. Never bond with a dying mouse. A memoir by Jeremy Flynn.
Must be confusing for Richard Parker as well. He's killed this mouse for you, brought him back to the garden. And he's going, check this out. And you're out there giving him cheese, taking selfies. And what's he doing? Very confusing.
Yeah, because now he's just, I can see the mouse there. He's still running around out there. He's definitely a lot faster than he was earlier. Yeah, he's running around now.
Good job you didn't finish him off. You see, that was my worry.
Yeah, now he's trying to climb up the plant pot. I'm very concerned, Jeremy. I don't know what to do.
He's fine. Get him in. Get him on the podcast. Who's his favourite dinner party guest?
Yeah, but no, it's not. Right, sorry. I found what I've happened. My head is distracted by this mouse, and I'm gonna bring it back.
Another big day.
Sure. Yeah. For the listener, we'll go into Jeremy and I live together, Edinburgh Fringe 2017.
Oh, yeah. We had a lovely time.
We ended up, a couple of highlights. We ended up with 144 Weetabix.
Yeah.
Two of us went out and did the big shop without letting the other one know. And we both bought the 72 box of Weetabix.
I don't even like them, really.
It's too many. I was big on them until that month.
Yeah, we tried our best for a bit. Anyone that came round as well, if you popped in our flat for an hour, like, do you want a bowl of Weedamix?
You went home with quite a few Weedamix. Sent you on your way. I was trying to write jokes about them just so I could hand them out at the end of the show.
Quick rewrite at the end of the show.
And Jeremy ended up at a mental institution.
Well, there's a couple of leaps in between that. I forgot about that, actually. Yeah, I thought I'd broken my foot. I think I just walked further than I had for a long time.
It was a lot of walking in Edinburgh.
Oh, too much. Too much walking.
Too much for you, that's for sure. I'm not saying that in any other way than you ended up injured.
Yeah, I hurt my foot and then I had to get to hospital. So
I woke up one night to missed calls from Jeremy, which is weird because we were both in the same flat and we'd both just gone to bed. And I got up at 4 in the morning. He was in the living room with his foot in a bucket of ice.
Yeah, I think you got me the bucket, actually.
You just sat there.
Me the bucket. Yeah, I was just sat there. You still like to send me the picture of me on the sofa.
Instagram after the episode.
Oh, great. Thanks. I appreciate that. That's good. Lovely memory. I'd hurt my foot somehow. I had to get you up in the night. It was bad. Oh, it was throbbing. I thought I'd broken it. So I got a taxi to the hospital the next day. Didn't feel like it was an ambulance job, you know. You know what I mean? I got in the taxi and I said, it must have been an Uber. And I think I just put in the hospital. I said, I need to go to the hospital. I think I've broken my foot. And he said, Royal Edinburgh Hospital. And I was like, yeah, cool. And then he drove. It took bloody ages. And then I was like limping around for ages. And I saw like the blue NHS signs. I was just hobbling around. And I saw a person in an NHS lanyard. And I was like, oh, can you tell me where A&E is? She went, this is a mental hospital. And the Uber driver, I'd already given him 5 stars and he'd gone for a start. And she said, no, you want to go to the other one, which is the other side of Edinburgh, basically.
I love this. She said, you want to go to the other one? Yes, I know that.
In her defense, she thought I was mental.
That also had the incredible moment. So we are in this flat. We don't have Sky. So we are watching Sky Go on my laptop, watching a football match. I think it was Bournemouth. And there was absolutely incredible goal. It was ridiculous. I could try and look up who it was because it was 2017. It was August 2017. I'm trying to find out who scored it. It was an incredible goal. But anyway, Jeremy and I reacted by absolutely whooping and cheering at just how incredible this goal was. Our housemate, Morgan, who's not into football, came into the living room, didn't see the laptop. All he saw was BBC News up with a woman just stood outside reporting from like Scotland Yard. He must have thought whatever news story we had broke was big. We were so into it was big.
Big news.
That we had celebrated the same as you do when a goal has been scored.
Yeah.
We were whooping, cheering, saying incredible. And he came running in going, what? And then just like he was reading the banner print across the bottom of the thing, trying to figure out what it was. MPs have voted against the
Are you getting this?
Oh.
That's so funny.
Get in there.
It's weird because once you told, when did you, you messaged me last week asking for like, you know, to be on the podcast and that. And as soon as you do, like your brain just immediately starts, you just start thinking every single person, you just think, oh, maybe they'll be one of my guests. You're watching the news and you go, oh, well, maybe I'll choose Raggy Omar as one of my, he can tell me about what the Gulf War was like.
And as Morgan knows, you're a massive fan.
Yeah. He loves the news.
Right. It's tough. And I know people, I won't hold you to these choices. If anybody wants to come back on, saves me booking guests, just let me know and come back on and go, I've changed my mind.
Sure. Okay. That'd be great. Yeah.
However, we won't let these three guests know that that's about to happen.
No.
We'll because there's been a knock at the door. Uh-oh. It's your first guest of the evening, a live guest, Jeremy Flynn, who's at the door.
Raggy Omar. No. do you know what? I went, my first guest alive is Grace Dent.
Who's Grace Dent?
Oh, come on. Grace Dent, she's a food critic.
Oh, I would. There was no way I would know who that was.
I forget that you don't know many cultural references. She's well known. She's well known. She's always on stuff. Grace Dent.
No, Susie Dent. Are they related?
Is her name Grace Dent? Yeah, it is Grace Dent. I mean, like her name. Yeah, maybe. No, she's great. You know Grace Dent.
Grace Dent. I'll be honest, I write on Bake Off. It wasn't until about 2 years ago I found out who Prue Leith was. I had no idea.
She's good. She's great. She's a food critic. Okay. She's always on. She's on all the things. She's on all the things. She's on MasterChef. She's always a judge on MasterChef.
Never watched an episode.
What? This is going to be a hot conversation.
I'm
going to choose someone that you know. I've got a list of about 20.
Go for Grace. It's nice for me to learn. And I don't know about the listeners. Maybe everyone's going, Jake, you're mad. Or they're going, I've never heard of her. Basically, when it comes to food criticism and stuff, I've said this before. I've had Tom Allen on here. Tom Allen and I went to a Michelin star restaurant and I just ordered off the kids' menu. Not for me. I
forgot that you have got funny food stuff, haven't you?
Nothing I love more than chicken nuggets and waffles and beans.
I forgot that you eat like a 12-year-old.
Yeah, so it means nothing to me.
This is going to be a really cool chat. I can entertain him.
So why Grace Dent? What?
Great question. One, she's sound. I think she's sound. She comes across as sound on everything.
Right.
She knows her shit food wise. Really knows her stuff. Like I said,
you'd expect.
You bare minimum from food critic, but she always comes across as really sad. She'd be a laugh. I reckon she'd have wicked stories about some crazy thing she ate, you know, like that's kind of been like the angle I've been trying to take of like who would have good chat, you know, interesting shit. We could talk about the food. I love talking about food. I just forgot that you and me never talk about food.
This is why it could just be you talking.
Yeah, but that's fine. I eat enough for two, so I can talk for two.
I talked to you about Weetabix.
Yeah. The first time I met you, actually, I remember you were eating like a little plastic pot of sweet corn that you brought from home. Like you had like a little tin of sweet corn, but like you'd poured it into like a little sad sandwich box.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Although I'll tell you this, I used to take that around to gigs with me. Sean Walsh once posted about the fact that I was having that backstage, and Frank Lampard replied and said, great snack, salt and pepper on that, thumbs up. So,
well, you know Lamps knows his cuisine.
It goes Dent Lamps.
Have you read his column?
Allow me to be frank.
I imagine Frank Lampard is the same as you. I imagine he eats chicken nuggets and chips.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
He lives near me, so.
Does he?
I'll let you know. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Get him on. Get him on the pod.
There's no way Frank Lampard's heard of Grace Dent.
No, that's true.
I wouldn't have thought. Has Grace Dent got a regional accent, or is she?
Yeah, she's northern. She's northern.
Right, when you said she's a good laugh, yeah. I thought she's got a regional accent.
Yeah, she comes across as Sam, which I think is, I reckon that's the best type of person you can be. I reckon sound.
Sound, yeah.
Sound. I'd love someone to describe me as sound.
Do you know her journey? How do you become a food critic?
I don't know. I do think about that sometimes because I think it's got to be that if you like food, and I never understand people who say, oh, I really like food. Everyone likes food. Surely, everyone likes food.
Yeah, fair, but then you've got someone like me who I would happily do the thing if meals were just like a tablet. I like textures, I don't like flavours. I don't like anything.
You don't like flavours?
I don't like flavours. The only flavours I like are vanilla, banana, and like cherry. Like that, oh, that's a nice flavour.
the big three, bit of a curveball on three, vanilla, banana, and because that's two of those are McDonald's milkshakes. And then a curveball with cherry. They don't do a McDonald's cherry milkshake.
Cherry.
I totally forgot.
Tastes better than cherry flavouring tastes better than cherries anyway.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
I reckon even Grace Dent would have to agree on that one.
Yeah, she's. I think she wrote a similar thing in her column. What's your favourite texture then?
Well, a mix of cereals.
Dry.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just dry. Not too much milk, so they're all. I don't like it when they go soggy. But I just like different textures of cereals. You know, like, well, recently I've had to go gluten-free because it turns out I can't have gluten. Yeah. So
yeah, I have, you must be becoming more successful.
What's that?
You said you must be becoming more successful. That's normally the trajectory.
Oh, yeah, it's how would you say it? It's not a privileged thing to be able to be.
I think so.
And that's not me gloating.
Oh, check out old gluten-free boy over there.
I can no longer eat Cheerios.
It's a sign of success in comedy, gluten-free, and then...
Vegan,
and then sort of like top is like any kind of spiritualism. That's the top.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah. So I'm on the pathway to enlightenment.
By
cutting out bread.
Cutting out all bread.
Yeah.
That's gonna limit you, though, surely, if all you eat is cereal and potato waffles.
A potato waffle's got... I think I probably should be eating them, actually. But it's mainly bread that I think it's more wheat intolerance than any sort of celiac-ness.
When people say gluten, when people talk about gluten and things like that, I don't actually know what gluten is.
I don't know what it is. All I know is that if it's got it in it, I struggle to eat a pizza, but if it's a gluten-free pizza, I can eat the whole thing and not feel bloated afterwards.
I always feel bloated, but I think that's just the amount I eat, really.
Try gluten-free. You're not going to try gluten-free.
It's the quantity, I think, that's the issue.
Mine, I think, is actually the speed, because I don't really enjoy eating. I just like to get it done. You know, now at the
really
minute...
I don't enjoy eating.
When you go to restaurants at the minute, because it's outdoor dining, they limit you to like an hour and a half at the restaurant. Yeah. And I think that's perfect. Good. Get me out of there.
Yeah. You're like, give me half an hour. I just put the glass of water. I'll get out of it. Why are you going out to eat then if you don't like food?
Social, isn't it?
Social, yeah.
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 I feel like we've slightly gone off Grace Dent here.
She's got no airtime whatsoever. she's not done well in the airtime ranks.
Right, so let's... A couple of quick questions about Grace Dent. When did you first become aware of Grace Dent?
I would say watching MasterChef.
Right, okay. So is she on every week or is she just a guest?
No, she's a guest judge.
Guest judge.
She's a guest judge, but she knows her onions.
From her shallots. And when you say she's got a column...
Yeah.
So what paper's this in? Telegraph or Times, I'd imagine?
Yeah, one of the big ones.
And do you read that?
I've read it, yeah, big time.
Yeah, wow.
But
what does she have to say every week?
Just delicious.
What was she doing during lockdown? That was a nightmare.
Yeah, it was a nightmare.
Is she married? Yeah. Just her husband's food getting absolutely slated day in, day out.
Yeah, just awful. Getting Deliveroo's, reviewing KFC. She wrote two pages. Yeah, two pages on the gravy.
I would read.
Yeah, big time.
I actually prefer, I don't know about KFC, but I prefer Burger King's chips to McDonald's chips. What do you stand on that?
I think you're deliberately trying to annoy me. Being contrary.
When I go to Nando's, I don't like the chicken there because I only like breaded chicken. When I first ever heard about Nando's, I thought it was going to be chicken nuggets. So I just have the vegan bean chili thing with no spice. I can't even do lemon and herb, whatever it is.
That will
I do.
Blow your head off.
Yeah, I just do. I do nothingness.
Yeah.
And that makes me happy. I dip it in ketchup. All I need.
I like that. So you go to Nando's, but you don't like the chicken.
Don't like the chicken.
Yeah.
I like the experience.
Yeah, sure.
It's casual when you're in and out.
In and out. So it's really, really about the logistics, isn't it, for you?
I like the crunched ice you get up with the Coke.
Yeah, sure. That's nice.
That is fun.
That's nice. You know what you want? An ice machine. That's what you want. Ice pressure. Stay at home. I like that you said that you thought that Nando's was going to be chicken nugget. What? Why? Why did you?
Because everyone loved
it. Have you
heard
about that new nugget restaurant in town?
I'd be there. Yeah. Oh, in fact, me and Sean did that recently. We were somewhere just by Charing Cross, and it just sold breaded chicken and chips. And I got those. We went and sat in the park, and I just loved it. I got some gravy and some ketchup.
You went to KFC? You went to KFC.
I did say it like that. It was a phenomenon.
Yeah. So sorry, they just sell breaded chicken. Oh, wow. God, you get all those wacky food places in London, don't you?
Right, Grace, thanks for coming.
Yeah, good. Yeah, sorry. It turned into an attack on Jake's appalling opinions on food. I did forget that you had a weird food thing.
What I must say is, are you planning on cooking at this dinner party?
No, I don't think so. Not if it's a fantasy dinner party. But oh, okay, I imagine that we were getting like high-end stuff, and I want to eat fancy food while someone who knows about food is there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like that's sort of the way it was going in my mind. We're getting a fancy dinner because it's a fantasy dinner party. So someone's cooking up some grade A stuff. Like,
you want to impress Grace, don't you?
Yeah. But like, then I want to know, like, why is it good? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to be taught.
Right.
Like, why is it good?
Right. That's good. Yeah. Like that.
I want that next level knowledge. I want someone to tell me something that I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
Like when you see like a good pundit on football will tell you something about the game that you don't. It's the kind of the same thing.
Another knock at the door.
Oh.
Second guest of the evening.
That's how you've heard of this one.
Dead guest. What I will do is pause because I really need a wee and I want to concentrate.
Oh, okay.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We're back.
How was that?
I'll tell you what, lovely thing I Googled whilst having a wee. I Googled, is Grace Dent married?
Oh, yeah.
Listen to this. She is not married and does not have any children. However, in an article for The Guardian, she wrote of how she is a long-term partner, but they choose to live separately. Here she wrote, 4 days a week together is perfect.
See? Sound. What did I say?
Let's hope your wife's listening.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. You know she's got that kind of attitude.
That's interesting, because then that 3 days apart, you go back and you go, right, what have you been up to?
Yeah, I told you. Sound. Sound is a pound. It's a good idea. I think, to be honest with you, after lockdown, I think I think four's a bit much, to be honest. Let's negotiate.
Exactly. 4 hours every other weekend.
Yeah. After this year of being locked down with me, I think she'd take 2 on, 5 off, to be honest with you. That would be plenty. Catch up on the basics. See you in 5 days.
There was a knock at the door. It was the second guest of the evening. It was your dead guest. Jeremy, who's at the door?
John Candy.
Oh, excellent, excellent, excellent choice.
Thank you.
Right. At what age is he coming back? Sort of what film?
Oh, I mean, because he, I think he died in the early 90s. So, I mean, I'm talking peak Candy. I'm talking peak Candy, late 80s, early 90s Candy. Absolute top of his fame. The Favorite Hit Machine.
John Candy?
The Hit Machine. Uncle Buck.
I was hoping you'd say Uncle Buck.
Uncle Buck.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
I rushed into that decision.
Yeah, because
could be playing Strange and Normal.
Yeah. As I went to write that down, I then realised that we'd missed Gold.
Yeah, potentially one of the best films of all time.
One of the greatest comedy characters of all time.
Oh,
Steve Martin in that. When he's just so annoyed at him that all he can do is just, you know, I think it's when he's at the phone trying to make a call and he does something and he's so annoyed, he just goes,
yeah.
<all he can say. laughs>
Yeah.
Oh, what a partnership.
Yeah. I mean, one of the best. I mean, in every film, he was magic, absolute magic. I mean, I still think, you know, the reason people love Cool Running so much is that it's pure Candy. It's pure Candy.
That's another great shout.
Yeah. Runnings, Buck, Home Alone, Planes, Trains and Automobiles, an absolute hit machine.
So, so likable.
Yeah. Yeah.
So likable in everything. Just not even likable, lovable.
Yeah. 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 Funny though. Funny. Like, In Uncle Buck, when he goes to see the headmistress of the school, and he's given her an absolute roast. It's one of the best, and he was cool as well. He's cool.
This is an excellent choice. Would you say he is your main comedy inspiration?
Because we're both very fat. I mean. Someone once told me, I was in a bar once, I was young as well, I was about 21, and the barman said, you know, has anyone ever told you look just like John Candy? I was like, is that something you want to say?
It's funny, is it? Because you go, luckily for me, that is a bit of a compliment because I sort of idolise him, but to anyone else,
I do love him, but, you know, I don't think, I'd love to look like him one, I think in terms of comic actor, like, I think he's got to be up there with the all-time great. I mean, timing. And each character was different. Oh, man, he had it all.
Okay, one thing I always do when I ask people about a dead guest is if you got to ask them one question, what would it be?
Just one question?
Yeah. I mean, I imagine that, you know, he's a very likeable guy. He'll probably give you 100. But I'm just saying for the idea of the podcast, you know, timings. We'll stick to one.
I'd want to know what his favourite was because... I put them all at a similar pegging, I would say. I put them all at a similar pegging.
Favourite one of his, do you mean?
Yeah, exactly. What was his favourite character? He's great Good in Home point. Alone as well. He's great in Home Alone.
And he was in the voice in Rescuers Down Under?
Was he? That's the one everyone knows him for.
That's the big one.
Yeah, I'd ask him, I'd say... John, I've only got one question in the parameters of this. How was filming Rescuers Down Under, brackets, voice?
The voice of Wilbur.
Yeah. Yeah, God, you do know a lot about him. Making up for the Grace Dent lack of knowledge. I'd ask him if the pancakes he makes in Uncle Buck are real. Do you remember he makes them and they're like, he's using like a snow shovel.
And if they are, get on it.
I thought that was when I came up with that as well. I was like, that's fucking
bad. Such a good choice. And do you know what I love about it is people always go big at the start. I think they start to think, who am I going to want to bring? And then you go, actually, who do I want? Who do I? I don't want to impress anybody. This is for me. He's up there with. There must be such a long list of famous comic Canadians.
Sure. Yeah.
Because he's
Norm Macdonald. He was the Maybes for Alive.
Yeah, right. I thought he might be.
Yeah,
and we got Jim Carrey.
Sure.
Mike Myers.
Oh, for sure.
Seth Rogen.
He'd be a good guest, Mike Myers. He'd be a good dinner bite. Get him to do all the voices.
Yeah, he'd love a bit of that. He's
love
great.
A bit of that.
So I Married an Ex-Murderer.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing.
Incredible. Dan Aykroyd.
Canadian.
I'm just going to keep listing Canadians now.
Well, you've got them up on your phone, haven't
you? So you're asking John Candy what his favourite film that he did was?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Because it was at a time as well that like comedy movies were like, they were just about to explode as well, comedy movies. But like big box office comedy movies, you don't really...
Yeah.
You got them for a bit while longer, but you don't get them anymore. Like big box off comedy movies. And I bet have good stories as well.
I was even listening or watching to something about him, how I think there was a film he wanted to make. So he got it made. And he was like, they would all go out afterwards for drinks and dinner, and he would pay for everybody. And then it turned out that they were all getting paid the same, but he just wanted to make sure everybody had a great night. So he would just cover it for everybody just to make sure the party continued.
Amazing. That's the kind of thing I'd like to think I would do, but I never would. I'd just be there in the court. I'd go, hey, everyone, I'd love to do it. I'd go, everyone, hey.
Yeah.
This is on me. And then for the rest of the night, I'd just be stood in the corner of the pub looking at the bar going, well, they're taking the piss.
I also want to know, everyone here gets a drink on me. When they put a little rule on it, gets a drink on me.
Yeah.
At what point, how do they, I always think, what's the logistics of that?
You can tell that we're fun guys, because when you talk about throwing cash at the bar, we're going, well, people might abuse it, actually. Do you know what I'm going to do? I'll order for everyone. I'm going to go to the bar and I'm going to order 1, 2, 3.
Okay, everyone stand still.
Right. I think pints is fair. Like, I'm not doing wine. That's crazy. It'll be crazy. Yeah, no, I'd never buy. Yeah. I like the idea.
Another knock at the door. Third guest of the evening, fictional guest. We've got Grace Dent. We've got John Candy. We've got you. Who's joining?
Adrian Monk.
Is this from the show Monk?
From the TV show, from the hit TV show Monk. Have you ever seen Monk?
It has been on Channel 5.
Yeah. I bet it has.
I have not seen it. Is it one of those things that actually Carlton is actually absolutely brilliant?
So I think Monk is absolutely brilliant. It's phenomenal, Monk. It's a breathtaking performance by Tony Shalhoub.
Tony Shalhoub.
Yeah.
Has he done anything else?
He was in Galaxy Quest. He's in quite a few things.
Yeah, okay,
he's in quite a few things. Monk is a detective.
Right.
First and foremost, he suffers from OCD and like he's got a lot of phobias. He's got a lot of phobias.
That's the angle.
Yeah, that's his angle.
And so is he sort of freelance or is he with the SFPD?
What a great question, Jake, genuinely. So he used to be on the SFPD.
Right, okay, great.
He used to be on the SFPD and then he had a nervous breakdown following the murder of his wife, brackets, car bomb.
Funny name.
Yeah, so car bomb died, unfortunately. Trudy, his wife, was killed and he had a breakdown. Right. And
can I just check? Is this in the show? Is this sort of this series
is
in one? The
show. This is first ep. This is the premise,
right?
So he was sort of retired. Brackets, nervous breakdown.
Right.
And then he worked freelance as like a consultant because of this amazing gift that he's got. Of like, it's a blessing and a curse, as he often says. His sort of OCD-ness is that he uses it to solve crime. It's such a good show, man, honestly.
So how long's an episode?
I think probably about 40 minutes.
Perfect. So hour of adverts, that sort of thing, hour slot.
Yeah.
Do you still watch it?
So I watched it all. I think I did, like, I watched it all last year, basically, all eight series, and I'll probably restart it again too.
What's it on?
It's on Prime, I think, Netflix, one of the big boys.
Right, okay. So, funnily enough, last night, Jeremy, I was watching TV, and I love police stuff. I wanted to be a police officer before I got into comedy. Well, I love it. I would love to be a detective. Anyway, that's what I was trying to find a new police show to watch.
Oh.
So I whittled it down to, I was looking at The Shield, which people love.
Yeah, yeah.
Very brutal, a bit more brutal, I think. And, you know, you got stuff like The Wire, very raw.
Sure.
I ended up sort of panicking a bit. I couldn't find one. I tried to Google what the best sort of police detective show was.
Yeah.
And I got overwhelmed. Ended up watching a couple of episodes of The First 48.
I don't know The First 48.
So that's actually just like a reality where they follow the police.
Real stuff.
As they solve it. Yeah. Quite harrowing, actually. But anyway, this could be perfect. I always like to take something away that I'll take from an episode. Maybe I could just start watching Monk.
Yeah, I like that it's not eating normal human food. Yeah. What do you try eating normally? Yeah. No, tell me more about this TV show. It's great. It's genuinely brilliant. I think it's genuinely brilliant. But it's so you mentioned The Shield and The Wire. It's not that kind of thing. We're talking sleuthy. Do you know what I mean? It's Midsummer Murders. It's Murder, She Wrote. What I like is that you've got the long running story arc of he wants to ultimately, you know, solve his wife's murder. But each episode is like someone's been killed in a way that's essentially impossible. The SFPD are scratching their head.
Great.
Get Monk in.
So he's sort of like the American Jonathan Creek.
Yeah, yeah. It's that kind of vibe for sure. It's definite Creek vibes. And I love Jonathan Creek, of course.
I love Jonathan Creek is already a guest at the dinner party.
Oh.
So a potential match made in heaven if there's a murder at the party.
Yeah.
Who sells it first? Or do they work together?
Yeah, Monk doesn't work well with others, I don't think. He's very, because he's got all of his phobias and everything, which, yeah, you know, it does. It's funny as well. It's a funny program.
Right.
I mean, because, you know, he has to deal with his phobias and his, you know, his little quirks and things like that. I mean, there's a lot of bad luck, you know. I mean, I'm not like a clean freak, but, you know, often he finds himself, you know, having to wade through a sewer. I think, I wouldn't buy that.
And it's, no one's liking that. That's OCD or not.
Yeah, I don't think it's fussy to not want to fall over down a toilet. It's great, honestly.
Couldn't have happened to a worse person.
There's a lot of bad luck for someone who's a germaphobe, a lot of bad luck. But it's great, genuinely funny, heartwarming. You feel for him. I mean, he's not, you know, he's not a perfect guy. He's complicated, but
it's a good eclectic bunch.
That's what I've been trying to go for. Plus, you don't want to see. I don't want to be the fattest person there. I don't want to be the weirdest person there. You know, so it's like I'm just kind of
going to be the most critical person there.
So I just, you know, I'm just like, people are like, yeah, that guy that didn't say much, he was all right. That's what I want to come. He was sound. That's what I'm after.
Who's saying that? Your dream dinner party, you're worried about who's going to analyse you as not being the
normal
guy.
Do you know what? Exactly. It's been really revealing. The whole thing has been really, the whole process of picking people, because I realised that a lot of my initial choices I didn't invite because I didn't think that they would think I was cool.
I thought you were going to say, I didn't think they would come.
In my fantasy dinner party. I was going to invite Snoop Dogg, maybe. I don't think he'd have turned down. No, but I did think, like, because you think, like, oh, you know, maybe, like, invite Tom York, really has my favourite band. I think he'd hate me.
People have done this before. There's people they like, but are they going to be fun at a dinner party?
Are they going to be? I think a lot of my heroes would not like me.
I think this is a great bunch. I mean, that was such a sad thing you said, and I completely went straight over it. Yeah. They would like you, Jeremy. You're a very lovable guy. You are.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
You are England's answer to John Candy.
Certainly, physically. I appreciate the pause, though, in the amount of time it took you to realize. No, people would come. They'd come.
There's been another knock at the door.
Oh, really?
No.
Not someone else you haven't heard of.
Lovely choices.
Thank you.
So we can get the vibe of the dinner party. A couple of quick fire questions.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Beer or wine?
I think wine.
Classy.
Yeah, I'd want Grayson to... Oh, I don't know. Oh, I don't know.
Northern, though.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly. She probably would prefer a pint.
Yeah. John Candy, pint.
Definitely.
Monk, can't imagine wine.
Well, he doesn't drink. He doesn't drink.
Doesn't drink, doesn't care.
I think there is an episode where he drinks and it doesn't end well.
If there's alcohol near Monk, it's only to keep his hands clean.
Exactly. He does, yeah.
Drench him in the stuff if he's been near a sewer.
Yeah, Monk doesn't drink. I think me, Candy and Grace are on pints.
Pint, we're on beer. Sorry, so despite me just saying classy, not classy, yeah, but I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I've changed my mind.
Whiskey or gin?
Ooh, whiskey.
Nice. Good, because I can't drink, I'm not saying I'm going to be there, but I can't drink the beer because of the wheat intolerance.
I was going to say.
Despite whiskey having wheat, apparently it's gluten-free. So I'm in.
Oh, really?
Did some Googling this week. Starter or dessert? Don't know why the choice. I imagine Grace is going to kick up a fuss if she figures out that for some reason isn't all three courses or seven where she goes.
Yeah, it's got to be dessert. It's got to be dessert.
Meat or vegan?
Meat. Come on. John Candy's there.
Music or games?
Oh, music. Can't stand games.
Can't stand games.
Like forced fun. Nothing worse.
Welcome to the comedy club.
Yeah, let's see that. Let's see that guy. No fun. Yeah, wouldn't let us have any fun.
Wigs is sort of what we'd paid for. And I think I know where I'm going here. Culture or politics?
Culture.
All the way.
Gotta be.
And I've had tweets because I can't pronounce this one, so I'm going to run into it. Signature dish. Oh, I did well there.
Signature dish. Well done. What that I want to eat?
No, that you cook.
That I cook?
Yeah.
Do you know what? A pad thai.
Ooh, I love a pad thai.
Love a pad
thai.
I
like to make a pad thai.
I like to make a pad thai.
And that is probably as tasteful as I go. And I love it.
Love a pad thai. Bit of flavour. Sometimes they can be quite spicy sometimes.
Oh, I only make it myself. But the thing with a pad thai is it's sort of a thing with me is no matter what I make, even pad thai, which is a bit sort of adventurous, everything I make still ends up sort of being like a beigey, white, yellow.
Yeah.
I mean, and pad thai, you don't get much sort of beigier than that.
Beige? No, you want pad thai nuggets. That would be nice. I know what you mean, though. It's probably like one of those dishes that, like, in terms of exotic Eastern, like Eastern food, it's like it's the most basic. It's the one that dorky people that don't like too much flavour eat.
Ah, sort of built myself up there and sort of absolutely slammed me down.
It's probably like, do you know what I mean? Like, you know those guys that are like, oh, pad thai is like the blunder. The people that go into a curry house and go, oh, give me the spiciest thing you've got. Okay, whatever the spiciest thing that those guys probably turn their nose up at pad thai. I did do the whole, have you ever done the trying to make your own curry thing, you know, with like, it was like a thing during lockdown that people were, you know, making like a proper Indian restaurant curry. No.
Not for me.
No.
I find kormas too strong.
Sure, they can blow your socks off if you're not careful.
The core in korma.
I went down, but you can. That's the good thing about making it yourself is that you can moderate. You can self-moderate your own spice.
Yeah, no spice.
You make the you make the base. They call it like a base gravy. Then from that, with like use ghee. Do you know what ghee is?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Ghee, put ghee in it.
Right, okay. What is ghee? Is ghee like a powder?
It's butter. It's some kind of butter, some kind of clarified butter.
I just guessed. Yeah, right.
Pretty good.
There's something outside the window.
There's a bird.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. Sorry. It's really distracting. It was like a, really distracting bird at my window. We can't all have dead mice.
It's alive. Last time I checked, he's alive. I was going to name him, but I thought that's going to make me too. So I've done well to sort of be distracted from it.
Big mistake. Don't name him.
No, and I've not done the same with dog or bird either.
Oh, the pets.
Right, now we go through my predictions for you, Jeremy Flynn.
Okay, yeah.
So I thought you would pick. Are you ready?
Yeah.
For Alive, I went with Steve Martin.
Sure.
I know you love The Jerk.
I do, one of my favourite films. Yeah, I love The Jerk. I mean, not too far away with Candy as Dead, so you're on the definitely on the right lines.
Thank you very much. I'll take that. Down the middle, Dead, I really struggled with. And in the end, for you, I went with Tommy Cooper.
Oh, naff.
No, nah. Not me.
Can't stand the bloke. No, he wasn't on the potentials. Magic. No. What if he started doing magic?
Oh, that is true. Yeah.
I know he wasn't a magician by trade.
Mm.
Anything relating to magic.
Forced fun.
It's not magic. That's my problem.
No.
It's not magic.
I just know that you love funny for funny's sake.
That's true. And he was the best, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, funny bones. But if he starts doing magic,
He's out.
Get him out.
Next one, I felt fairly confident with the fictional one. But I went with Jack Donaghy.
Great shout.
Thought so. From 30 Rock. I know you love 30 Rock. I think he's such a fun character. Is it Donaghy?
Donaghy.
Donaghy,
yeah. A huge shout. Yeah, people from 30 Rock were definitely in the considered pile. It's just such a great show. And each character is so well written for. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, each character by themselves are like, it's like, there's probably like five or six world-class characters in it.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think it's funny how, I was speaking before, we had Rachel Fairbairn on and she chose George Costanza and we're talking about Seinfeld. Mm. And then we end up talking about Everybody Loves Raymond and King of Queens. The thing with like, some American shows just don't make it over here. Mm. That one basically would really, apart from maybe a bit of a cult following or sort of a younger people, it wouldn't really stand a chance because we don't have the shows that they're making here.
Yeah.
So it would never be prime time.
I know. I know that it is like really well liked, but I don't. Still, don't know. Like, none of my mates particularly watch it. It hasn't seemed to have sort of made it out into the wider world. But it's so like the gag ratio in it is.
Yeah.
It feels like almost like early Simpsons kind of levels of like gags like that. Like, so funny. Every other line seems to be like a punchline. And the characters are great, like the overriding story, everything about it. I should have been Jack Donaghy.
I love Alec Baldwin anyway.
Sure.
Funny man. He's got a good podcast.
Does he?
Yeah, he's a funny one. I listened to one. He had Chris Rock on there. And he was talking to Chris Rock, and I think Chris Rock was about to go out to Italy, I think, to make a film with Woody Allen.
Sure.
And Alec Baldwin says to him, I'll be out there at the same time. You know, let's do something.
Yeah.
They have a great chat. And at the end of the episode, it's just Alec Baldwin's own doing the sign-off. He says, we did both end up being in Rome at the same time, but Chris never got in touch. Huh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Drop that out there.
Yeah.
Why not? I hope you don't do that if we fall out of touch.
We do have to meet up, don't we? When you come into London, or am I coming to Bristol?
I don't mind. We can meet halfway. Reading. Let's both go to Reading.
A day out in Swindon.
Yeah. That's what I was going for. I was going for a laugh.
You're having a laugh with those three. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like I'm against them, but you genuinely are. If they're there, you'll have a nice time.
Yeah, go for a nice time.
We now have the part of the podcast where we pick one of your guests to go through to the ultimate dinner party. Oof. We have Grace Dent, John Candy, Adrian Monk.
I think we can rule Dent out right off the bat. Didn't make a lasting impression on you. I'd say it's got to be Candy.
I think John Candy is such a good shout. What a character to have at a dinner party.
Broad appeal. I reckon, you know, like when you think of like even kids these days, they've got to know who Candy is, haven't they? The young'uns, they've got to know.
Even if they don't, maybe you've sort of heard the name, but you definitely have seen at least one of his films.
You've seen one of his films, definitely.
And if you haven't, and you get to watch a lot of amazing films for the first time, then you're in for a treat. And if you were at the dinner party and you meet him and you'd never heard of him, which is mad, and the next day you go, I'm going to watch some of his films. Perfect hangover cure.
Oh, forget about it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And we're all spectators. You're not going to sit and read Grace Dent's columns.
But I think with Candy as well, like I feel like, and maybe this is wrong, but I feel like he is that person. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine that if you turned up to a party and John Candy was there, he'd be sat in the corner, not really looking, like, he'd just be sort of reading a book going, oh, yeah, that's like a character I play. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he is in. He is at the party. You know he's at the party. Even if, you know, maybe in the car on the way there, he's a bit quiet. Although I can't imagine it. I can imagine that he's got the top down and I imagine he's singing along to something, getting himself ready. And then he pops in and then bang, he just carries on.
The only man to ever pull off a pork pie hat as well.
You love a hat.
It's because I'm losing my hair, so I'm trying to establish myself as a hat wearer before it goes.
Fair.
You don't want to do the Mark Owen of like your hair goes and then you turn up in a fedora and you're like, oh, I know what that's about. So what I'm trying to do is if I start noticing my hair falling out, then I put the cap on now, then when I wear it in the future, they'll be like, he's always
he loves a cap, and it's out here now on the podcast, apart from the fact you've completely undermined it, but apart from that,
it's been good.
Oh, thanks so much for coming on, mate.
Hey man, thanks for having me.
It's been good fun. Jeremy and I did message before this to say that we'll have a proper catch-up afterwards, because otherwise I did worry that we would just go off on tangents. We did that anyway, but we'll still have a catch-up.
We did do that anyway. It's been so long. But I really haven't kept in contact with anyone. I kind of came up with this idea that what I was going to do is just not reply to anyone, just get my head down, like come off all social media.
Yeah, get us all worried.
Like,
nice.
Yeah, and I was like, just call me when it's all over. Just call me when it's over and I'll go back to... And I thought, that's a really good idea. And then, it wasn't a good idea. haven't left my house in 6 months.
Yeah, sort of making lockdown worse for yourself.
Made it so much worse, really worse, really, really worse. Yeah, so bad idea. But so, you know, it's good to talk to someone
this
new.
This is your official comeback. Jeremy did come to London, but he never got in touch. Huh. So that was Jeremy. Hope you enjoyed it. It was really fun. We've actually since discussed the fact that we might do a podcast together, just another podcast, just because we really enjoyed it. It's a good way to catch up. And I'm not sure what it will be, but we might do something. I hope you enjoyed it. It was really good fun. As I said at the start of the podcast, I will do my best to bring you another episode next week. It may be a day late, it may be a week late, but I will do my best. But for now, as always, I will be back next week, maybe, with another episode. Bye.
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
On a rent?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Where's your wife?
Don't have one.
How come?
It's a long story.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
It's an even longer story.
Are you my dad's brother?
What's your record for consecutive questions asked?
38.
I'm your dad's brother, all right.
You have much more hair on your nose than my dad.
How nice of you to notice.
I'm a kid, that's my job.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.